Today, what are you, free for Saturday or something?
Hello. Were you talking to me? I didn't hear it.
I said you free for Saturday today.
Yeah, I'm free tomorrow most of the day. All my duties are done.
Oh, what duties?
Entertaining, working, scamming, grifting, poaching, weaseling. This kind of thing.
What kind of stuff does Suzu have you doing now?
Suzu's in prison.
They didn't let him out yet.
No, not yet. Probably soon, though.
Jesus.
There's some alpha soon.
All right. That's a very soonish.
Yeah, your audio is kind of weird, by the way. I don't know if it's a speakerphone or something.
One second. It's on. I'm on these like iPod things. One sec. Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
Okay. So what, he's making bail or like, what are they doing to him?
I can't say too much because I've been sworn to confidentiality. What I can say is out soon. As in, you know, maybe out in a week or maybe out in 2 weeks or maybe out in three or four, five or six or seven or eight or nine or 10, 11 or 12 or 13, 14, 15, 16.
If he comes back though, is he going to tweet a lot of cool shit?
Well, all he really needs to do is to tweet the... a really good ox picture, in my opinion. I think one could imagine that he might become more risk averse after something like this.
Why is he actually in prison? Is this jail or prison? Is this a short-term sentence, or why did this? Why does this?
He's basically in prison because he's an idiot, and by that I mean that he missed a court appointment. He just forgot it was on that day, and then traveling normally as he was, thinking nothing was going on, he just tried to get on a normal flight on the airport, because he goes in and out of Singapore all the time. He catches a flight every week, because his main home is in Singapore with his wife and stuff. And then his wife and stuff are in Singapore, and he has property there and whatever. But then he's been all over to Bali and you know, the Middle East and all kinds of stuff for a long time.
So he gets off the airport. He's like shocked. Oh shit.
He
like,
turns up at the airport and it turns out that they've got his name flagged as missing a court appointment. And because in Singapore, everything is really brutal. If you miss a court appointment, you get default 4 months in prison. So it's
they cane your ass. Oh, 4 months.
Wow. Yeah. So it's very much like a Buddha story in many ways. Do you know the story of Gautama Buddha, Sefi?
Vaguely. Yeah, remind me here.
Well,
what happened?
He was a prince, like a royal prince in a very...
Just one question, yeah. Before you start with the story. Singapore, is it still the rule with the chewing gums, right?
I don't know, but they're pretty brutal in all ways.
Yeah, it's crazy. Go ahead with your Buddha story.
But it's an interesting thing because Suzu lived in a $60 million house, like its net worth, sorry, his the worth of the house in Singapore he was in, and obviously had been in a lot of money for a long time. And then the Buddha was a prince and lived in a palace for a long time. And the whole Buddha story, the origin story, was that he lived in this palace and his parents and his carers and his servants kept him well away from any forms of suffering or illness or injury or death, right? He only saw plenty. He only saw vibrant health. He only saw youth. He only saw wealth and opulence. He never ever saw anything like death. Cool. He never saw anything like death. And then one day he snuck out of the palace and wandered around the local streets, and he saw, you know, old people on the streets and homeless people and poverty and people with various diseases and leprosy and, you know, missing limbs and things, and death and destruction and people dying and corpses. And he thought, oh, hang on, is this life? Is this the life I've been kept from? Is this what actually happens to all of us in the end, you know, as we get older? So he had this dramatic realization that, oh, you know, maybe I should think about life in a different way or have different priorities if, in fact, everyone dies and suffering and death is inevitable. And then he went off into the forest and whatever. But
isn't that called the foresight?
Say it again.
Isn't that called the foresight when he saw that at a young age, like these things that had these impacts to him?
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of a kind of a dramatized version of a typical story. When I lived in a monastery, most people said that they came there after some kind of crisis. Like I did long silent retreats and things. And the interesting part of it was that at the very end of the long retreats, you could speak to people. So I tended to ask, like, why did you come? Like, why did you do such a ridiculous thing as, like, sit in silence for a month or two meditating? And most of them have some kind of crisis story, like divorces or some illness or something. A load of cancer patients were in these places, these monasteries. People who'd got into dire financial straits or gone through horrible divorces or had long-term depression or something. It's like they hit the wall of realizing that, you know, life is pretty fucked up. And even
were there also people with PTSD?
Yeah. And not only that, not only the fact of crises, but also people who have it all and they're still miserable.
So you're saying, Suzu, you're thinking like this parallel is he's in prison.
Well, the parallel is that he lived in a $60 million house for the last however many years.
Okay, sure.
And then suddenly he finds himself in a four-man cell with straw beds. That's the state of where he is at.
That's impressive. He'll come out changed one way or the other, right?
Yeah. But how does this affect our ox bags?
Yeah, that's the critical thing.
I think
right?
It's going to be really funny because when he gets out, I'm going to ask him like about when he gets out, I'm going to ask him how he is and how was prison, the stories and things. But probably most people are going to be like, shield the fucking ox, man. Our bag.
You're like,
You destroyed our fucking bags when you went to prison. It's done. Exactly. What the fuck, man? Post the ox.
I mean, truly, like, this story, like, couldn't get any fucking weirder. I mean, in all seriousness, like, if you think back, like, last few years, right? Like, this is not, like, the predictable outcome.
It's a good movie plot, right? Everyone enjoys it.
It's some sort of plot. I don't think anyone would be able to follow if you turned it into a movie. Like, they'd be like, what the fuck's going on here? What do you mean there's an ox bag and it has to go up and Suzu has to come out and pump it and whatever? Like, the entire thing is insane.
I think it's going to be super funny because it is kind of his fault, right? Like, he fucked up and he dumped ox for getting arrested. So he needs to at least be posting ox pics. We can have a bit of empathy, but we need the fucking ox pics too.
But does he have the like the ox pics AI thing or whatever?
No, what was really annoying? Sue was perfectly willing to. Well, for a long time, I had been like, basically controlling the Sue and Kyle accounts, right? And among other things. And Sue was perfectly willing to give me his account login, but I didn't take him up on it because I thought like, nah, like for security and stuff, I don't want to get, you know, whatever. But it would have been so funny if he'd been arrested and I just continued posting on his account. People are like, is he in?
Mindfuck the people, right?
Is he in? Is he not? Like, does he have a device? Has he used... It'll be like Suzu uses his billions of dollars stolen from creditors to get phone in prison, corrupt Singapore.
They got a phone in the prison. Little bastard.
Just flew in the phone with a drone to me tonight, right? I'm posting here the secrets.
So, like, what is Kyle doing in all of this? He's like the other dark twin, right? He's the, you know, like,
dark twin.
What is he telling himself?
I don't know if they're twins, man. Like, they look a little different.
Something. A little bit, but I mean, like, they're, like, you know, brothers from another mother, right?
Kyle has been trying to help Sue, and also just doing business shit and whatever else he's doing.
He's where? He's still in Dubai.
I won't tell.
Or wherever.
I know all these things, but I won't tell.
Sure. So while these guys are busy doing their thing, like, what do they have you doing then?
You're asking very personal questions, Seffy.
Well, I mean, you got to talk about something, right?
I don't know. I don't like these personal questions. I prefer to be a contributor. I am a contributor.
Coach Bruce.
You know, on like the Delphi profiles and Twitter profiles, contributor at Mars Protocol.
Coach.
That's me. Contributor.
Coach, hello. Where is Big Tell in all of this?
I don't know. Are you in England or have you come back?
Well, I went there for a couple of days, but I'm back.
Only a few days. Why?
I had some business there and I did my business and I met Big Tell. He's a pretty big.
Did you actually?
He's a really big man. You weren't lying, man. You were not lying. And I ordered. I had to order another pair of Captains of Crush.
Did you go to Nando's?
Nando's, the supermarket.
That's apparently the thing to do.
Yeah. It's like their version of a supermarket, right? So, like, when you walk in, they say, "Oh, hello there. Top of the morning." So,
but where did you go in UK? Where exactly?
I went to Stoke-on-Trent to train at Eddie Hall's. It's called Strength.
Oh, nice.
It's called Strength Asylum.
Yeah. It's in all the videos, right? Or used to be.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. And unfortunately, I could not meet up with Hixie or Lauren Chalet. But maybe next time. So
you made the trip to the Mecca and, like, God was not there.
Yeah.
Like, going to... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Going to Mecca and the Black Cube isn't
but, exactly. Look, Coach, where Cube. Does Big Tell fit in all of this? Because before, we were talking about how Big Tell would be the board of directors in terms of partnerships. So we were going to have the strongmen and the bodybuilders be ambassadors. Where is Tell? Where is Big Tell?
I think if Big Tell has a heart, which he doesn't seem to, he would go straight to Changi Prison in Singapore and bust those fucking bars open and pull out our boy.
Well, that shit would have been fine if it was still called Flex, but now it's called Ox, so that doesn't work.
You know, it really made me happy to see Leslie, you know, on an interview again, right? Out of all CEOs, you know, of course, after Coach Bruce Wrangler, Leslie would be right there. She is the most powerful CEO in all of crypto.
Hmm. So have you been making it out of the UK again lately? Any more travels?
I went to Kansas City. That was cool.
Kansas. What's in Kansas City? Nothing?
Yeah, it's just country.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What'd you go do over there? Why'd you go?
To meet up with some coworkers, the other large men of Because Bitcoin. So,
oh, they have like a physical office or some shit or what? Like, what's going on?
No, one of our guys stays over there. Like, our entire team is just comprised of very large men, like extremely large men. So you have Max, right, who's like, you're an ordinary corporate guy, and then everyone else is just like very freakishly large.
You hold on a second. Can you give the height and weight of everyone, please, Webby?
Yeah, so Max, you know, average size, he's 5'10", 180 pounds. Then you have Tucker, who's 6'4", and 280. Then you have myself at 6'1", and 330. And then you have Edward, who's 6'3", and 230.
Wait, why do you know everyone's heights and weights? I'm confused.
Because it's all he thinks about. Mm. It's like his thing.
Yeah, like we have to like when we choose, like we have to screen everybody, right? Like,
you know, no, just
I don't know Wabi.
Let me try and describe. Like, I used to be really into weightlifting, and Wabi understands this because I've dropped way too many words and terms and things. I used to be in lifting, and when you're into lifting, you constantly are preoccupied about how much you can lift and your own weight and maybe your own balance of body fat to muscle and gaining more and more. And you're constantly looking at the scales. And when you're on a bulk, you're chugging the fucking milk down or doing GOMED or something, drinking a gallon of milk a day. That is what GOMED stands for. And you're constantly looking at the scales. You're like, is it going up? Is it going up? Do I need to fucking add calories? Am I going to recover from my 20 squat workout? If I've had it, like, have I had enough? But then when you do that all the time to yourself, what that does to you psychologically is you start looking at all other men around you, and you can intuit their weight precisely to exactly a pound. Like if I look at you, Seffi, if I see a picture of you or if I look at you on the street, I can know your exact weight and your exact height within like a quarter of an inch and within about a pound, like 10 out of 10 times. And I can do that because I've obsessed about it so fucking much. So Wabi knows about these things because it's his world. He lives in a world of shape and size and getting bigger and bigger and fucking bigger. That is his world.
Yeah. So
Wabi, are we missing any measurements or did you cover them all?
And then we have Will, who's 6 foot and 265. And all of our other affiliates. Oh yeah, then there's Jackus as well. He's 6'5" and like 210, but he's a soccer player. But he's from Czech Republic in the Netherlands, and people from the Netherlands are just like they're extremely tall. And then
so clarify for me real quick though, like the business model of this is what, to like hang out on Twitter
space and do YouTube? No, let me ask a better question. Let me ask a better question.
Okay, what?
Wabi, let's do a visualization. It's 2 years from now. What is Because Bitcoin? How do people see it? What exactly is it doing? Describe it in 2 years' time, the vision.
It probably becomes a gym. So I kind of think of it as this virtual gym where we're recruiting everyone from the crypto scene, and then we psyop them. They
into lifting weights.
Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, the whole thing, right? And like we had Grant Cardone, who's like this big real estate guy, right? Him and his brother, like they're really interested in us and all that, but I won't get into detail about that. But
so there's like rich sponsors and shit or what? Like what's
perhaps
the, like how are you getting paid?
I can't confirm or deny, but what I'm saying is the Cardones, like if you notice Grant's musculature, like if you go on his YouTube channel, if you look at his physique from January up until now, you'll see that he's added some size, and you can say that that's probably because of us.
Alhamdulillah, the wonders of TRT.
Yes. So you can say like there's probably some like operation there going on, right? Like a secret cult.
Read the Grant Cardone book, Seffi. Get his video course, get his sales training course, and read the fucking 10X.
Yes,
book.
Yes, the 10X.
And also
rule.
Read his book on the application of Scientology principles to visualization and manifesting success. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. I have the book. All of our team members have the book, right? Every time, every morning during our team.
Bruce, that rolled off your tongue like you've memorized these books.
I have a varying degree of interest in many things.
Coach Bruce is omnipotent, dude. He's omniversal. His presence extends beyond the multiverse. Okay.
Into Grant Cardone's world.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, yes, right. Like you don't know if he's real, right? Like the whole thing can be scripted, right? Like, you know, a guy.
So this Cardone character and all of these guys you work with. Yeah. So like, 2 years from now, you're getting what, like, a YouTube following? Are you selling people Bitcoin, or like what are you doing?
Yeah, describe it in 2 years. I'm serious, by the way. I mean, any entrepreneur, any business owner must have a vision, right? Because otherwise, what are you heading towards? What's the vision?
Yeah.
Oh, where are you heading? Chad Beriford. There he is, Chad Beriford. I have been betrayed. I was promised the Rune PDF. Chad Beriford has betrayed me.
Okay, get back to what we were.
Okay. All right. So
you let Chad distract you. Jesus.
So in all seriousness, where do I see, because Bitcoin in 2 years' time?
2 years.
If
you don't know,
want me to be like serious, or do you want me to keep role playing?
No, but I want you to know this, Wabby. If you don't know precisely, then it will never happen.
Okay, all right. So in 2 years' time, we probably have an exit. That's like 100%. At the current growth rate,
Have you considered selling it to Chad Beriford?
I mean, I had Familiar Cow on the show when we used to host like projects for free, which I'm never doing again. At the bottom, at like 80 cents, which was pretty based. But at the time, I was like super degenerate on Ox and RLB and Unibot and things like that. Like, I didn't realize Rune was pumping until like last month, like early last month, when everything just like died for a couple of weeks, and I'm like, oh shit, Rune's pumping.
Is the success of the brand tied to the pumping of these coins? Like, you kind of went off target here.
he went perpendicular.
He went perpendicular. Yeah.
No, I would say the success of the company just like any like media company, producing consistent content. And if you take a look at our highlights page, we've been pretty consistent. And if you take a look, we average like well over 10,000, sometimes up to 20,000 views per week on our spaces. And when you compare it to something like Bankless, right? So Bankless has like hundreds of thousands of followers, and they focus exclusively on YouTube, right? And because Bitcoin, we do that, but like, we only started YouTube, you know, like 6 months ago. Our main hub is Spaces. So Bankless gets like, you know, 30,000, like at peak, right? Like so far this year at peak, but they typically average like 25K views, 20K views a week on their videos combined, right? So relative to our account size at 14K, like we're right up there. And
Wabby, you're making me nervous. Do you know why?
What's up?
You're making me nervous because I think the more you speak in a monologue without saying hello to Chad Beriford, the more likely he is to
leave. Oh, Chad Beriford, no. What's up, man? Are you guys looking to sponsor any media companies, man? I think you guys are pretty based.
No, man, we generally don't do that kind of stuff. We've always kind of just opted out of just any form of marketing for the most part, other than just Twitter Spaces, and always just had more of a grassroots approach.
Well, there it is. There it is, Bruce. You've ruined me.
No, I think in many ways it's true, right? Like, if the model needs to be optimized so that it does its own marketing in many ways.
Yeah, with ThorChain,
and if you're paying
with ThorChain, it's a bit like different. I know it's like I know how it started out. I remember this one guy, I can't remember his name, but he starts his YouTube video saying boom shakalaka. He's this bald guy. And I remember when Rune launched on the Binance Dex, and it was like 2 fucking cents. And I remember when I got into Rune during DeFi summer, I just thought the name sounded cool, dude. I did not know a damn thing about like how AMMs work and all that stuff. Same thing.
You like the meme of the name.
Yeah. Same thing with Luna, Solana, Avalanche. Like, they had cool names, right? Like, if you don't have a cool name, a cool sounding ticker, like, you're not going to do anything, right? And that's why, like,
yeah, like, if you're not buying coins based on the, like, the look of their icon,
and
logo,
and that's why, like,
then you're a newbie.
Yeah, right? And that's why, like, things like Atom don't really do anything, right? Like, they just kind of chug along. Like, what's Atom, right? Atom, come on, dude, give me a break. So, yeah,
if you Google Atom, like, you wind up getting, like, you know, some information about, you know, subatomic particles and whatnot, right? Like, you don't really get anywhere.
Yeah, and, like, concentrated liquidity and all that stuff, community, airdrops, weird cults that, like, hide behind NFTs that are, like, a penny. It's very strange, right? Really deranged. So, yeah.
I think Kareem was trying to say something. Go ahead, man.
Wagwan, Kareem.
No, sorry, guys. I just accidentally hit the mic off button.
Hey.
No problem. You didn't have anything funny to say to Wabi.
No, I'm just... That shit was hella funny, though.
Yeah, look, Coach Bruce, back to your point. Because Bitcoin in 2 years, household name across crypto media companies... you think of names of Cointelegraph and Blockworks, they don't really have faces, right? There's no media personalities. It's kind of like this weird cartel that just pumps out articles with fake engagement. And, you know,
it's like the current model has leaned towards very AI-ish stuff.
Right? Yeah. Whereas, like, because
you're trying to be the big cozy guys who, like, whisper in your ears later.
Almost
like late night radio shows or something, like personal and loving and kind, and talk to you directly. You know, cozy old uncle in the armchair comes sit on my knee. This kind of
thing. And, like, you know, with our partners and all that stuff, you know, we like to have these weekly phone calls and kind of, like, you know, we prescribe them in return for sponsorship. You know, we prescribe them. Okay, this is what you need to eat. These are the exercises you need to do. So it's kind of like, you know, we're running like a personal training kind of thing in the background, right? So it's like, okay, we'll train you and help you get big. And you'll also grow taller by a few, like, secret methods that aren't, you know, they're subject for patent approval. So,
Wabi, I've noticed that you like to talk about yourself more than you like to talk about a $1 billion blockchain called Rune.
Oh, Chad Barriford, the man himself.
Hilarious. Fucking hilarious. Yeah, $1 billion for the first time in a long time.
No, it's awesome. I think you've done awesome, by the way, to fight through the bear market and the fucking hack FUD and all this stuff for such a long time, and then rebuild the model and do so much better. I think you have everything, like, everything seems to be perfect right now, right? Like, all the integrations, the appeal to both intelligent people and the retards at the same time. Like, I think it's set up really, really well right now. So, like, yeah, my hat's off to you. I think you've done really well.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that, like, you really needed to have in order to build a really good project is just have some grit. And I think the community and the ThorChain community has that, like, to be able to stick around for long periods of time, be dedicated, be focused, be shipping, right? Kind of take the hits, take the scars, you know, roll with it and figure out how are we going to move forward? How are we going to fix whatever problem is going on, and how are we going to, like, you know, continue to innovate, continue to push the kind of boundaries of DeFi, and how are we going to, offer new products and services that are just going to offer a lot of value proposition for the industry as a whole. So it's just part of that process. It's just making sure you stay focused on what we're doing and being just here for the right reasons, not so much for the pump or whatever, but just mostly for building really, like, groundbreaking DeFi protocols that offer things that no other project can do.
I think the crypto problem is, like, when the price is going up is when everyone realizes that the project exists, which is really funny. like because this price meme effect is quite frustrating for everybody. Because like on the one hand, it's like, wait, you're not supposed to pump your own bags or your tokens or whatever. On the other hand, if you don't, nobody knows what the hell it is.
Seffy,
I thought one interesting thing over the last 18 months to observe was that there were lots and lots and lots of people here 18 months ago, right, who knew about Rune, who knew what the trajectory was, who knew about the team, who knew, who had basically all the insight to be able to buy it at the bottom, but they all disappeared, right? Which is really silly. I remember talking to people about a year ago, and I was like, the main risk you could make with the next bull market is dissociating and getting apathetic and not using the knowledge you have right now that you spent like the last 2 years learning about. And that's like basically what's happened. I quoted myself earlier from like a year ago saying this thing. And it's kind of funny now to watch how it's unfolded. Like, it's like everyone was in the right place to understand exactly what you're doing and building and stuff, but very few have actually stayed and were able to hit the bottom perfectly. The rest are going to hear about it when it hits like $5, $6, $10 or something. And then they'll be like, oh, whoops.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Here's the crazy part about that, though, right? Is that if you look throughout ThorChain's like recent history or the last year, 2 years, and if you focus on fundamental value and you focus on the fundamentals, on swap account, on trade volume, on chain integrations, on you know, a bunch of things like this, and just forget about price for a moment, and you focus on the fundamentals, the KPIs. ThorChain has been consistently performing in those ways. And even during the we're now, you know, we're in this kind of bear market and we're heading towards the bull, which is nice. But like we are hitting almost every KPI. We are exceeding now than we did in the top of the bull market in the previous time. Like if you look at the KPIs, we've been fucking killing it for such a long time. But people are so disheartened by the price going down from $20 to a dollar, and people just, you know, walk off like, ah, you know, and they walk away. And then you see that same person come back, you know, on crypto Twitter or whatever, talking about how he's now a bull again. And it's just, to me, it's a little funny because to me, I'm just like, we've been killing this entire time. Like we've been delivering nonstop for the last, you know, year or two. And to me, it's blatantly obvious that we've been killing it. And but to other people, it's not, because sometimes people just focus on like the chart and the TA and they don't look at the actual like, what's actually happening underneath it all.
Well, low market cap stuff is going to be hyper volatile. So it's like,
for sure,
clearly like some fraction of people are going to buy at the wrong price or whatever. And then they're like sitting there crying while it goes down.
Chad, let me,
or overinvested or whatever.
Does ThorChain have the capabilities? And mind you, this is just me speaking on my own accord. Does ThorChain have the abilities to have like a casino integrated into it, like Rollbit?
I suppose in theory
that'd be pretty based, man.
I mean, I wouldn't be interested in that personally, but I don't like to build products for gamblers in general. But I like to build things that are different, that push the envelope, that actually provide a really valuable service for the industry as a whole. That's what gets me interested and excited.
I read an interesting thing earlier. I think it was can't remember who it was, maybe ThorChain Bull or someone like that, TCB. And it was something like Chad only bought a piano at the top, something like that. It was your only purchase. Is that true?
It's kind of true. So it's the only thing that I bought for myself, right? Because I've been playing piano for a very long period of time, and I've always wanted to have a really nice piano. And I'm just not a car guy, you know. I don't like Lambos and, you know, whatever else. So the one thing I really wanted for myself was a nice piano. I did buy some other things for my wife and such, but for me, it was just a piano.
I like that. I lost about something like $7 million in the Luna crash, and the only thing I bought at the top was a big MacBook, and I only bought that because I was like, what the hell should I buy if I have money? And I didn't know what to buy because I don't really have any like materialistic desires. So I bought a huge MacBook, And then like a year later, I realized it was way too heavy to carry around. So I bought a tiny one instead, and it's now just sitting in the cupboard collecting dust. So I'm kind of with the same mindset. Are you, yeah, you kind of scan them out, by the way.
The big ass one's kind of heavy. Yeah. Like that, I stopped buying the big ones myself. Same thing.
Is there any chance of a rendition of Radiohead Street Spirit?
I actually, one of the covers that I do is a Radiohead song. It's actually High and Dry.
Really? Yeah, is there any chance of a cover now? Do you have the piano or are you away?
Well, it's a little bit late at night. It's 4 o'clock in the morning where I am. So I don't think I can only hop on it. I think it might disturb.
Will you pinky promise next time?
I'll tell you what. I'll do a live performance for you of High and Dry by Radiohead.
I think that would be pretty bullish as well. Like for that to be clipped and retweeted and stuff, that's pretty bullish.
That's got to be an actual.
That's unique. That's unique. DeFi.
Chad, can I sing you a song?
I would love it if you sing me a song.
Thank you. Thank Wobby you very Jesus. Much. I'm going to pull out my phone. Here we go. And we're going to have some karaoke.
Uh-oh. Can we not do some anime Chinese thing, please?
Chad, what genre do you perform? And by the way, all you people in the audience, you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to suffer, and you're going to love it when I sing, all right? You're going to stay put. You're going to stay put and listen.
I think it would be really great, by the way, Chad, if you had some kind of musical elevator pitch.
I honestly like
to explain Rune to dimwits in about 60 seconds.
So Chad, check this out. Look. The same way how, like, you know, before we bring anybody into our network at Because Bitcoin, you know, we screen them. We're like, all right, how much do you squat, bench, deadlift? What's your height? What's your weight? We go through a whole screening process, like, and that determines whether they can, you know, work with us in any capacity.
It determines if their hands are strong.
Yeah. Like when we partnered with Open Exchange, Mark succumbed to our training program, and he put on, Mark Lamb put on over 100 pounds on his total, right? On his squat, bench, and deadlift.
Nice.
So, and if you see his physique, right, you know, since June, you know, he's put on some size, right? And Kyle, he put on some size. And even Zu, when he got arrested, if you take a look at his traps, right, when he got arrested.
Hey, come on, focus.
Okay.
Chad's wearing the song. It's his birthday.
Okay, hold on. Let me pull out like my song phone. Hold on 1 second, please.
Are you going to take requests? Like, is he going to be able to
choose? Yes,
or
yes, yes. Mr. Bearford, what song would you like me to sing for you, sir?
All right, should I make it easy for you, or should I make it hard for you?
No, it should be, no, neither. It should be something.
Yeah, like Frank Sinatra, right? Like, well, what's that song? My Way?
Fly Me to the Moon.
And what makes a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he really feels. And through it all, you know, so if you want some Sinatra, I can put some soul.
I like some Frankie. That's a little Old Blue Eyes, a good touch.
Yeah. Or if you want me to give some 80s music, you know, like, you're out of touch, I'm out of time, but I'm out of my head when you're not around. You know, or I can sing some Madonna, right? I'll dress you up in my life.
It's like Spotify, but worse.
It's like Spotify, but more entertaining.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Like, no one cares what anyone has to say. It's the way you say it, right? Like, someone can say, right, give me all your money, right? And that's just like normal, right? But if you have some psycho say, give me all your money, right? It's kind of like, whoa, what is going on here? Right,
you got to commit. You got to commit. I guess we just lost Ken there.
Yeah, that's kind of complicated.
You didn't commit.
What were we committing to again?
Like, yeah, the song. What song would you like, sir?
I want to hear some Fly Me to the Moon by Frank Sinatra.
Okay, give me 1 second. I'm going to pull out my second phone.
You have like a karaoke phone or something?
Put a karaoke phone.
Yeah, what is
the lyrics? Is your karaoke phone the Android, or what's it called? The Solana phone? What the hell is it called?
Yeah, I'm actually on my PlayStation. I'm going to pull up YouTube and I'll sing it from there. By the way, I sold my Solana today, and I rotated that into more Celestia. And I promise you, if Celestia is not at least, $5 by the next week, me and Mustafa are going to have some problems. So, yeah.
I have a quick question for Chad.
Yeah, shoot.
What's your, I guess, because we just brought up Celestia too. I feel like for builders in the space, building applications on top of different blockchains, I feel like ThorChain is one that you don't find on popular indexers like Alchemy or Quicknode. Like, is that a thing that you're like is on the ThorChain team, or is that on like the third party like indexer providers?
I mean, we have our own indexer that we've always built called Midgard, and then we also connect with other like Flipside Crypto, for example, to do like data analysis and this kind of stuff. But we don't really have like the team that most projects have. Like even some of the UIs that build on top of ThorChain have, twice or three times the size of staff. Even ThorChain itself, like the core protocol, is built just by me and one other guy, right, for a good a couple of years. So we've always had a very kind of short and small and focused staff. Never went into middle management or these kind of things. We never had the funding. We only had like, I think, $1.5 million in funding, which is, fuck all in the crypto space. And so we never just had the resources to do a lot of these things other chains do, where they just kind of raise huge amounts of money from VCs typically, and they just burn it all on marketing and paying their way into certain, podcasts or distribution channels and whatnot. And we just never the way we wanted to go at it. We always wanted to keep small, keep focused. And our main fixation was just like value proposition, just ship and build something useful, build something that actually solves a problem, and fuck everything else. Like, who gives a fuck about appearing on fucking podcasts or whatever? Like, it's just, we don't make any efforts to do so. We just kind of allow the product to stand for itself, and then hopefully people just adopt it and it gets pulled into different things just because of its merit rather than the VCs behind it.
So we would just need to, like, if I wanted to integrate with ThorChain for one of my projects, it would just have to be directly through Midgard, essentially.
Yeah, Midgard or just the Thor node, binary itself. It depends what you're trying to accomplish or what you're trying to build, but yeah.
Okay, cool. And I know you just, another question, because you were just talking about how lean you guys are and like scrappy, how deflating like was the Luna spiral? Because I think also, if I remember correctly, it was like right when ThorChain, or is that not a ThorChain thing and it was more of a Thor swap thing? I'm not 100% sure how it works, but would love to know what your take was on that, because you guys dedicated time on that integration.
Yeah, that's a good question. So in my opinion, the Terra integration that we did was the most successful integration that we had ever done. And we, to this day, that's still true. Because when we launched the Terra integration, we had, well over $100 million locked up into TVL. We had trade volume happening. We had deals happening where ThorChain was going to be integrated into the Terra, like wallets and UIs. And like, that was like kind of my opinion. That was one of the best integrations we did. And unfortunately it all kind of came to a crashing, end, which was like really, bad for the protocol.
It did work fantastic.
It worked fantastic while it was working. And then all of a sudden it didn't work anymore. And then we kind of lost that partnership. And I actually really enjoyed that partnership, to be honest with you. And then the other thing that happened to a kind of downstream effect was We had talked about an algo stable design for quite a while before Terra had collapsed, and we were still. I mean, I was still bullish on the design. The design was already accounted for all of the reasons why UST had failed, and we had already kind of acknowledged those flaws in that particular design. We had designed ours very differently from that. And so I was still very bullish on our algo stable, but then this whole market just changed. Everybody had PTSD, and everybody wanted to talk about
Chad, not to cut you off, man, but there's a project that really reminds me of you guys, and I'm not sure if you guys are working with them. It's called AirTor. Are you guys like working with them for privacy stuff?
No, I don't think we are.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to ask, like, the way you guys started with like a small cult community, it's kind of the same way that they're operating. Kind of gives me some similar vibes, and I thought you guys might have been working with them. And you know what I find pretty like cool, right, is that like in a bear market, right, like everything associated with Cosmos, at least this is like Cosmos's first bear market, or like emergence out of a bear market, because I think we bottomed last year, right? And I think like the pain for alts is mostly done, especially after June and October of this year. That's typically when things start to bottom out. And, you know, I think like in future bear markets, I think like the thing is going to be like, oh, everything in Cosmos and shit is bad. But in a bull market, it's like the greatest thing ever. And if you look at the projects that really like flourished the most, not only in ROI, but like adding new people that stayed in crypto, I would say things built on Tendermint would be like it, right? You have Matic, Fetch AI, you guys, Binance. So yeah, a lot of people don't know that too, but Binance is like built on Tendermint. But the thing is, right?
Yeah, they're super old. Like they're one of the first Cosmos chains. And it's kind of the funny funny story. When I first got into to working on Thorchain, we didn't have any money at that time, and I couldn't take a salary, and I was dead broke because the government went to my bank account, stole everything I had, literally. And wait, I got another job.
A woman like your ex-girlfriend stole your money?
No, the IRS.
Oh.
The IRS stole all my money. Literally emptied my bank account. True story. Jeez. And then I was working also as a CTO of another blockchain company, and they didn't have an investment yet. And so I was working there for free as well. And so then a friend of mine gave me a contract with Binance to help build Binance Chain. This is not Binance Smart Chain, but this is like back in like 2019. And so I was hired as like a contractor to help build like multi-sig and like, you know, hedge escrow features for Binance Chain. And then they would take the code and they would determine whether or not they liked it or not, or whether they wanted the feature or not, and merge it to master.
Chad, real quick, can you finish your thought on that stablecoin design piece? Because also, I don't think anything ever replaced Terra, right?
Yeah, I was running the same. I was wondering, what's your current thoughts on algo stables? Is it a thing you're still thinking about? Is it maybe something you consider too risky added to the success of what you have so far? Like, what's your current thoughts?
Yeah, so our algo stable coin actually is already in the chain today, and it's already running in the chain today, but it's in this kind of state where it's not a general asset in the same sense of what tokens generally are. It's used for lending. And so whenever you take out a loan on Thorchain, the Tor is what we call Tor, is always the debt asset. You can receive whatever you want. You can receive Bitcoin, you can receive ETH, you can receive whatever you want. But the accounting, the math is done through Tor, which is our stablecoin. So it has no risk to the protocol because the market cap of Tor is always zero, because you can't just like buy it and hold it and put it in your wallet and whatever. So it's just there at this point, just to be like, as a
ledger entry.
Yeah, ledger entry in a matter of speaking. And then what's really nice about this particular way of going at things is that we can run this thing live, you know, in the market for, you know, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, whatever time frame you want to do that in. And you can watch how well the peg functions. And you can do this like right on some of our dashboards. You can actually see how well it performs, and it consistently performs better than like literally every other stablecoin that ThorChain touches, like USDC, USDT, BUSD, you know, something like this. And so we have this ability to kind of run it on, you know, mainnet in like a safe way, just to prove that the mechanisms work and that it's reliable and very solid. And then once we kind of prove that, at least the best we can, the community can just vote to turn it on. Like actually, technically right now, the community can vote right now and enable it and just have be a general asset that you could buy and hold, and it'd be another Algo stablecoin put out there.
The Algo stablecoin idea works quite well when used like within the ecosystem of a single chain, I think. I think it's when you try to migrate those coins outside of that chain and you have to do remittances and whatnot. That's where the problem comes.
Hey guys, someone changed the title. Anyways, okay, I'll go ahead and still ask my question. Chad, what are your thoughts on the market, man? What are you seeing in the markets?
Well, I'm not really much of a markets guy in a sense.
Yeah, because I'll give you some context, right? So the Fed, they skipped on raising rates a second time, right? So that tells me that, you know, the next FOMC meeting, they're probably going to announce a pause. And if you look at the crypto asset class after the Fed officially announced a pause, right, and this was in January of 2019, we absolutely ripped face. So when you combine that and also, you know, the ETF narrative, you know, there's a possibility that we can have a bull market, but in a shorter time. And I'd love to know your thoughts on that prospect and also what you're seeing internally at ThorChain. Are you seeing more users and all that stuff? But first off, I'd love to know what you're seeing, not only in the crypto markets, but also in the broader financial markets. Yeah. So, so Chad, go ahead, man. What are you seeing in the markets?
I'll tell you what, the one thing that excites me about the markets is this Bitcoin spot ETF. And the reason why that I find it very interesting, because when it happens, it's not going to be that actually big of a deal. Like it's not going to drive a lot of buying power, purchasing power on Bitcoin, at least not initially. But when we enter into the next bull market, whenever that is, and you have this bull market kind of hysteria and everybody's talking about it and everybody's grandmother's talking about it as well and stuff. And all of a sudden you can buy Bitcoin on an account that you already have, as like you as a normie, you already have a Fidelity account, you already have a Ameritrade account, you already have a Charles Schwab account because you know you buy stocks and bonds and whatever else. And so just because it's so frictionless to acquire Bitcoin into your portfolio without needing to understand, you know, what a mnemonic phrase is, without needing to sign up for a new account on Coinbase and wait, you know, several days and get KYC, like it's a lot of fucking work and friction to get into crypto, as we all have done that. But once you have a spot ETF and you have like major enterprise and JP Morgan, whatever else, it's like holding that stuff. And even when you have BlackRock, which has got $20 or $30 trillion worth of assets, and they're going to want to put in, you know, maybe 2% exposure to a lot of their large holders, that's going to be a huge amount of like a buying pressure just because the friction's been reduced to acquire a Bitcoin. So when that next like bull market happens, whenever the fuck that's going to be, I think this whole spot ETF is just going to be, it's going to really push this thing to a really hard degree.
So Chad, let me ask you this, man. What are your thoughts on the current administration, not only in the SEC, but also politically, right? I feel that, you know, as bullish as an ETF.
The president is demented.
Yeah. That's pretty much it, right? But what I'm saying is that, like, you know, perhaps we can have a super cycle of sorts, right? So we have the Fed pause rally, right, which could happen the first half of 2024. And then we can have, you know, the real mega blow off top cycle once we have a new SEC chairman and also a new administration. And, you know, I'm aware that you guys had launched during the Trump administration. And, you know, one thing that I noticed is that when Trump was in office, we got ICOs, we got DeFi. He cut a lot of red tape. You know, the overall landscape for regulation was really hands off, right? And that's when, you know, DeFi really got to benefit from all of that. So, like, what are your thoughts long term, you know, going into 2025? Because short term, of course, like, all right, cool, we have the ETF, but like, you know, what's beyond that, right? Because after a spot Bitcoin ETF, I feel like there has to be some sort of effort, right, to create, you know, crypto's own Russell 2000, right, for the equity markets, right? So, you know, you buy this crypto ETF and that comprises of, like, you know, Solana, Rune, and ETH holdings in one ETF, right? So would love to know your thoughts on that as well, given that, you know, I heard you talk about Fidelity and all those things. And I find that really encouraging, right? Because most individuals that I've spoken to, and I have spoken to so many projects in this space, and what I find a lot of them, you know, a lot of their faults is that they're really only beneficiaries of ZERP and QE. So they're just like, oh, I'm going to build this, you know, chain on Cosmos or on Ethereum L2s. And, you know, I'll get a bunch of VCs to, you know, give me some liquidity so I can give some airdrops to participants that test out our chain. And really, right now that that phase has kind of washed out and a lot of those projects are gone, I feel like, you know, we might be entering a post.com world where it's really only going to be a handful of products that are going to be here a few years out from now. So would love to know your thoughts on all that as well, brother.
Yeah, another big question. The one thing I would say, I generally don't want to get too political, but the one thing I would say about politics, and this is not like, you know, left wing or right wing or any of those things, but just fucking logic. What upsets me or annoys the fuck out of me is like how so much of our politicians are old as fuck. They're so fucking old that they can barely even function. They get fucking lost like mid conversation and they have no idea what the fuck they are, what just happened. And the fact that we have so many of our leaders and both in the House, the Senate, the presidency, all that shit is just fucking ridiculous. And the problem we have now is that young people don't want to get involved with politics, right? And I understand why. It's fucking sucks. It's just, I'm sorry, it just fucking sucks to be a quote public servant. And nobody, and, you know, in the younger kind of groups really want to get in other than like the AOC or whatever. But like, it just seems like we have this aging, you know, political power going on, and it's just there's just getting increasingly worse with every fucking year. I just wish we could get to a place where you get people in office that can actually just like form a sentence. Would be great. I appreciate that. Can you form a sentence for me? That'd be a great thing. Appreciate that. Thank you.
So Chad basically said that Rune will pump when America has like younger leaders. In other words, we're going to zero voice.
Yeah. So I either think Vivek, and if it's not Vivek, then DeSantis. That would be like sort of the younger crowd. And really, right, like, you know, a lot of crypto bros, they say they don't want to get political, but like, dude, this entire space is political. If there's a whale that holds like most of the token on a chain, they can do a governance proposal and just like override it with a click of a button. So it is political, right? And it does affect, you know, what goes on to the broader asset class, right? So
yeah, but I also say that like crypto people in general have a tendency to be like political avoidant in some sense. Like, avoidance is the wrong word, but it's the reason why we are creating what we create is is to escape the political sphere that is corrupt, that is moronic, that is cannot function, and build something that is a brighter, brighter future. Now, there's definitely politics within crypto, right? You can't build a project, especially a successful one, without kind of, you know, getting involved with some politics from here and there. And some projects are more deep in that stuff than others, but that is a normal thing because it requires consensus, and the only way to reach consensus on anything is through generally a political methodology, right? Of voting and of like advocating for and tweeting about and talking about why we should, you know, vote yes on this proposal or whatever the hell it might be.
Yeah, man. And Sefi, not to cut you off, brother, but I do want to touch upon this. So, you know, we recently had a project by the name of Celestia go live. You know, they're marketed as this, like, you know, modular blockchain and all that stuff. Are you of the proponent that this could be, you know, kind of like the second coming of Ethereum, where Ethereum launched and then you had, like, you know, the ERC-20 token standard, and that created a whole new economy, right? And, you know, as much as people want to call crypto a Ponzi, which, I mean, like 97% of it is, right? I mean, everything really is a Ponzi. But when we talk about the broader crypto asset class after Bitcoin, when Ethereum came on the scene, right, you had the birth of a ton of new exchanges, a ton of new projects. And some of them, they're still around today, right? We have ZRX, we have Aave. And I remember when Aave was called ETHLEND, right? And you got to think to yourself, how many people got jobs through these projects? How many of these individuals that are founders of these projects have helped out, you know, other families by hiring the head of the household, right? So it's basically like, you know, I guess the straightforward question is, would this launch of modular infrastructure add a lot more to the crypto economy as much as Ethereum did back in 2016? Is it kind of like the same thing?
Or, wait, hold up a second. You're asking him if Celestia can save the world, or
no. I'm saying like the blockchain, the launch of modular blockchains, right? Because you have Celestia kind of launching, and then you have Fuel Network, and then you have Dimension, and of course, all of these projects are also going to have, like, you know, protocols built on them. And I'm kind of thinking, like, okay, is this going to be like a rapid expansion like Ethereum was with the ERC-20 token standard? Or
I'll tell you why it's not, right? And this is like a common trope that this industry just keeps on fucking doing over and over and over again. And it doesn't make any fucking sense, but we keep on fucking doing it. Now, I don't know a lot about Celestia. I get the high level, but modular. And from a technology perspective, it sounds like they got something pretty cool going on. But that doesn't matter, right? We have so many fucking projects in the space, right? We got Solana, we got AVAX, we got Algorand, we got Polygon, Arbitrum, and that Facebook one that's trying to Aptos, and we got Celestia, and we've got Radix, and we've got these, and they're all fucking doing the same thing of, like, we're building a scalable blockchain, right? But the problem is that doesn't actually provide any value. Right. Unless somebody builds something on top of it that's valuable, now it's valuable. But by itself, it has no fucking point. And the problem is that all these projects that people are building, you know, whether it be, you know, AVAX or Solana, whatever it is, they're building these things that are like, that are trying to provide a new framework to build something on top of. But nobody's building anything valuable on top of it other than the basic shit over and over and over again. An AMM, a lending protocol, an NFT marketplace, and that's basically fucking it. And just regurgitating the same shit over and over again. Oh, we took the same thing we have on Ethereum, and we just copied and pasted onto, you know, this other blockchain.
And the tech landscape has a long history of just a bunch of shit that was cool that nobody used, too. Like, remember, I mean, back when computers were out, it's like, oh, there's a ColecoVision, and then there's an Amiga computer, and then there's a Nokia smartphone. Like, there's so many brands of little things that came and went that nobody ever created anything on, like, which is interesting. Like, so I don't know how many of the projects out there, like, will actually.
The craziest thing is that, like, not enough people in the space or not enough projects in the space are working on trying to build something that actually solves a problem. right? Because you can build a fast blockchain, but nobody's building your like anything on your fast blockchain to actually even push your blockchain to any kind of limits. You can talk about how you can do 100,000 transactions per second, but if you only got, you know, 5 per second going on your network right now, like, we need more people in the space, more entrepreneurs and visionaries to come out, think of really fucking great ideas that actually solve real world problems and improve people's lives in one actual, like a real fucking way, not in a degen way, but actual improve the quality of people's lives. Now people will come to your whatever blockchain it is that you're talking about building on top of.
Chad, I wanted to piggyback on that too, because when I was asking you earlier about like these indexers and people trying to build projects to support different blockchains, I personally am building something in the accounting space. So the reason being, I want to be able to automate the back office for businesses that are doing things on chain. And literally in the last week, we've had requests to support things like chains like Aptos and Celestia. And we're not, you know, blockchain integrating experts. We're literally just trying to tackle the biggest chains the quickest way. And I feel like there is a gap, because now you have all these businesses like saying, hey, like, we're doing all this stuff on chain, but we can't actually bookkeep or account for it. And it is these like newer chains that, you know, we're seeing. And we're kind of stuck telling these finance teams that we like don't have a solution unless we like directly go and integrate with the chain directly, which is not like our expertise.
I would tell you, if you want to listen to my advice on this, but tell you to not worry about integrating with lots of different chains. To be honest, like, the act of trying to integrate with more chains is just going to cost you more maintenance time, have more production issues. It's going to be just an onslaught. And the more chains you interact with, the more cost it's going to have to your, you know, operation. And how many, you know, clients or customers actually want to use Celestia? Or actually really want to use this other chain, or this other chain is, doesn't matter what it is, right? I'm not trying to do a hit piece on Celestia or anything like this, but just like there just isn't the user base on those, on these newer chains yet. Maybe that'll change in the future, but this isn't there. It just doesn't make any logical sense to spend the time and resources and have the cost that it requires to support other chains that aren't really going to bring that much value to you.
Yeah. And I think the issue is these chains are causing, they're maybe 10% of the volume, but they're 80% of the time every month for these teams because of just how manual it is. And so, yeah, I mean, like we try to still make the sale around it and say, hey, like, look, we can still automate, 90% of your blockchain activity, because most of your activity is on Ethereum or Polygon or some of the more mainstream chains. But I do think, one of the risks of these newer chains, or like you, to your point, no one's building, people need to build something valuable on top of it. But it seems like most of these people are adopting these chains for like marketing partnership reasons. And so they're just trading like NFTs or doing lending on some AMM for the sake of the relationship. And then it's causing them a massive headache to actually bookkeep for it.
I totally get it. With that, gentlemen, I think I'm going to call.
One more question, Chad. One more tiny question.
One last question.
King Webby had about 15 questions, and I have only had one, and that related to music. What are your thoughts on Maya Protocol and Kakao and that stuff? I read like a PDF a long time ago where they were really insistent that it's definitely not a competitor, and we're definitely not in competition with ThorChain and da 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 da. But I never really kept up. I'm wondering, like, what's the state of that now? I see it mentioned sometimes in connection to ThorChain. I know there's some degree of like sharing of the communities and stuff. I'm wondering what the difference is between ThorChain and Maya, and what you think about it.
Overall, I like it. I mean, overall, I like the idea of more people doing what we do in the space. Right? It's not healthy for the industry to really only have one player that can move value across, Bitcoin, for example, right? That's just not actually good for the industry. There should be 4, 5, 6 of us out there, right? And whether that's a fork of our code like Maya or a fork of our white paper like Chainflip, I don't really care, right? But I do want to see more people in the space. And we, we are there for Maya Protocol. If they have any questions, whatever, they want to talk about something, like, we're always there for them, and they're always there for us as well, right, to offer any kind of support we reasonably can. It's good to have another project out there that's experimenting, that's doing other things, that's, you know, going places that we're not going, like adding, you know, I think it's called Kujira, whatever it's called, and Dash and this kind of things. And then we can look at those and see if they're, how the interest is, and you know, it's something we want to get involved with ourselves or not, right? So I love the innovation. I love the like just trying new things, experimenting. Like, we should all be encouraging people to experiment and try new things in this space. It's the best way to innovate, right? To try new ideas, and the majority of them will fail, and that's okay. And I'm not saying that Maya's going to fail, but like, the most of them are going to fail, and that's okay. You learn.
So to clarify, you're saying that Maya's going to fail.
No, I'm not saying that for sure. But all I am saying is that success is oftentimes a terrible teacher, and we learn the most from failures, right? From we learn a lot from Terra, right? We learn a lot from FTX. We learn a lot from those situations, those scenarios, about what not to do. And so a new a breath of the industry is now aware of certain kind of like outcomes, and they're going to invest or handle their money differently now. That's all really important and really valuable. So Maya is an interesting protocol, and I wish them the best, and I will continue to like support them any way that I reasonably can.
Chad, when are we going to expect that stable coin algo stable piece launching before you go, if ever?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer for that. I'm just waiting to kind of let lending run for a good long while, and you know, let the Tor asset kind of prove itself before we actually launch it for real. And we'll see. Well, maybe the community will vote it down. I don't know. I don't have an ability just to push it through. So I might have to, you know, advocate for it for people to vote in a certain direction. But maybe hopefully in 6 months or 12 months, possibly. I don't know. I couldn't really tell you.
Nice. I also have to go, Seppi. So I would suggest that me and Chad leave simultaneously and imply that we've gone to do something together and leave a sense of mystery.
Something very important, hopefully.
You kill the space simultaneously.
We're going to go to bed together and spoon. That's what's going to happen.
I see the title of the space has been changed. Bruce, was this you?
It was, because you hijacked this space.
I did.
No, it's okay. You've done the hosting every day for so long that I can tell that when you enter a normal conversation, probably when you're in like Walmart or something, you're hosting because Bitcoin, aren't you?
Yeah, he's going to the checkout lane and he's like,
"What do you think about the, you know, what?" I'm buying these items, but what do you think about the rate hikes and da da da?
Exactly, talking about macroeconomics.
But no, awesome. Thanks, Chad, for joining, and like, I think really, really good job, like holding it through the bear market, continuing to innovate, keeping the team together, keeping that core community together and stuff. I think it's awesome and it's paying off now. And I know we're only price going up and stuff, but the underbelly of that is really, really good fundamentals and really good progress. So yeah,
And we're the only retards who've been here the entire time, the last 2 years or whatever. So it's like, so we pretty much get the price go up and down part pretty well.
And can we confirm you've pinky promised that you'll play a rendition of something next time you're at a reasonable hour by your piano?
Yeah, I'll do something next. You know, schedule a thing and shoot me a DM or whatever, and we'll do a thing or something. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Good night, friends.
Good night, guys.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down, baby.
days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. Steak probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting honest. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage, like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible, when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.